We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
And it's a Wednesday, getting you ready for the weekend. Another Packers game coming up, the Oakland Raiders on the docket. Good day to you. Welcome. I'm Bill Michaels. It's Bill Michaels Show. I'm the big unit, Bill Michaels, in Radio Joe across the way. Evan Heffelfinger behind the glass. And a lot of good stuff coming up today. Today's one of those days where we talked a little bit yesterday about the Packers in the sense of, you know, the win and breaking it down and you know, all the officiating crap. And I got to be honest with you, I was listening to a lot of the national stuff last night. I just got tired of it. It's as if the Packers didn't do anything to win the ball game. It was just the officials gave it to them, and the Detroit Lions are completely screwed. And I was on a chat board last night. I shouldn't say chat board. I don't even think they have chat boards anymore. It was in a discussion last night over on Facebook. Clearly a Lions fan. And I said, did you forget about the fact that, you know, your team had numerous opportunities in that ball game, whether it's turnovers or even stopping the Packers on fourth down in which they were going to kick a field goal, and the, you know, and you had 12 men on the field, and yeah, but you had 12 men on the field too. And I did see that there is one occasion in which the Packers did have 12 men on the field. I saw that. You are correct. But the argument basically is this, that the Packers did earn the win. The Lions had numerous opportunities to put them away, and they just didn't do it. So I understand where you're coming from. I get it. You know, there's some legitimacy there. No doubt about it. But, as I've said before, and I'll continue to say, the Packers got screwed on the Fail Mary. Yes. The Packers had numerous opportunities in that game. People talk about the game in which they lost the NFC Championship game, and it was, over the top. Tremont Williams gave that up, and it's like, no, he really didn't. It was a perfect pass and a perfect catch from Russell Wilson. It was almost undefendable. They lost that game. But they lost that game due to their own ineptitude. They had 12, 13 different plays in that game that had they just made one of them, they walk away with a victory and they find themselves in the Super Bowl yet again. And my honest opinion, I've said from the very beginning, they would have won that game. So I'm good with not blaming the refs, okay? Sometimes it sucks, a call doesn't go your way, but ultimately the game is played via you and the other team, and you got to win it. So I got frustrated last night. I had to finally just put it away. You can't talk. You can't fix stupid. You know, myopic type of mentality. You can't. It's the yeah, but. It's the Jerry Springers of the world. You know, the people that go on the Jerry Springer show that no matter what you show them, no matter what evidence you have in hand, yeah, but it's not my fault. So that was kind of the mentality I was dealing with last night. So then I got into the NFL matchup show. I was watching that, and our buddy Greg Cosell, who does such a fantastic job putting it together. And I texted Greg last night, and I was talking to Greg a little bit, and I said, hey, Greg, you tell me right now who the best team in the NFC is, because I honestly don't know. And, you know, I start looking at the records, obviously, and there are teams, you know, the San Francisco 49ers, they are unbeaten. So you got to look at San Francisco and say, okay, how good is San Francisco? You look at the Packers. Packers have won all three games now within a division. They beat what is considered to be a good Bears team. They beat what is considered to be a good Vikings team. You know, they've done what they've been able to. They beat Dallas in Dallas, and Dallas is still considered to be a good team. So how good are the Packers? The Packers have beaten more quality teams than just about anybody in the NFC. Think about that now for a minute. for the teams that are they fell to Philadelphia. Philadelphia right now is a 500 team. They beat Dallas in Dallas. That is considered a quality win. Dallas is a 500 or better team. Okay, they beat Minnesota. Minnesota is a 4-2 team. They beat the Bears. The Bears are above 500. They beat the Lions. The Lions are a 500 team. You see where I'm going with this? For all that has been said, like the 49ers, I mean, before they beat L.A., beat the Rams, which they did with a dynamic defense, don't get me wrong, but before they beat them, the teams that they had played were a collective 5-15. You know what I mean? So you start to think about this, you're like, wait a minute. So when I was talking to Greg last night, we were kind of texting back and forth, he said we would have to think the Packers are. And here's what's scary. Here's what's scary. Think about this for a minute. The Packers haven't even played their best football yet. Still look scattered. Defensively, they continue to get better, and they're steady. They're a team that they're a defense you can rely on right now. But their offense, all over the board. 1 week they're running it, the next week they're passing it, the next week they don't have Davante Adams, they can't find anybody open, so you got to throw the ball out of the backfield, you got to throw it to the tight ends, they've got drop passes, they've got guys that are fumbling the football, they've had, you know, just key holding penalties that have cost them drives. They just haven't been able to put it all together. Imagine if they put it all together. And that's what we were basing this conversation on last night. The best team in the NFC is the Green Bay Packers. You look at who they've beaten. You look at what they are in the division. You look at what they are in the conference. Think about that. It took me a minute to go, that's not them. They're not the best team. And then he went, look at who they've beaten. Look at their schedule and who they've beaten. Chicago on opening night on the road. Tough call. Tough call. They beat Minnesota, another good team. The team that's the blemish on the record, if you want to say the weaker victory, would be Denver. They beat them 27-16 at home. And they did it in good fashion. They did it by keeping Aaron Rodgers as clean as he's ever been. Where they stubbed their toe was against the run game in Philadelphia. Philadelphia just beat them up in that quick turnaround. But think about that for a minute. The best team in the NFC, not the NFC North, the best team in the NFC, based on record and strength of schedule thus far, the Green Bay Packers. Do you believe it? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. For all the reasons I just gave you, give me a counterargument if you don't believe it. Let's go to our buddy Ken in West Bend. Ken, welcome to the program, The Bill Michael Show. What's going on, man?
Billy, you're going on. Great show.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what? I can't put a counter argument really against you regarding the Packers being the best. I will say that when you look at a 49ers team that's unbeaten, and then you look at a Seattle team that has played exceptionally well,
mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Green Bay compared to them, I think Green Bay in all three facets of the game truly have developed in a manner that nobody anticipated. And with that being said, yes, they still have more hurdles to overcome. They have some issues, but they have played lights out for the most part, with the exception of the Philadelphia game where they were just a tick off that night. They were just, for whatever reason, they couldn't get it together and put enough points on the board and have their defense make the stop. So with that being said, Green Bay definitely is one of these teams that is going to continue to excel because they have something that when you look at these teams around the league, look at the chemistry on this team. And I know people don't like to talk about chemistry, but it's everything in sports.
Yeah.
When you're playing team sports, if you don't have chemistry, forget it. And you don't seem to have any of these guys that are out of sync in any one of the phases of the game. Now, special teams, the one downfall with special teams so far has been their kick and
their coverage
return.
teams.
And the coverage too. They've been lacking a little bit, but they're going to pick up on that. I think they'll be able to overcome those issues as the weeks go on. This is a smart coaching staff, and they're able to coach their guys up. I love the fact that their coaches are on the field. I said this way back in week one. What was the one glaring thing that I seen that separated them from the McCarthy area? Their coaches are on the field actually working with their guys so that they can overcome the mistakes that are on the field. So with that being said, it's just one of those deals where you look at this team and you only see good things coming from down the pipe. They are the best team in the NFC right now. So until somebody can knock them off convincingly, which nobody's been able to do, they are always there at the end. Whether it's they start out strong or they end strong, they're right there at the end of each ballgame.
Yep, no doubt. Appreciate it, buddy. Talk to you soon, Ken. Think about it this way, because he makes the argument for Seattle. Seattle beat Cincinnati, and they barely beat them to open the season. They barely beat a bad Pittsburgh team. They got beat by New Orleans. They got beat at home, by the way, by New Orleans. Then they went on the road and beat a bad Arizona team. They beat a pretty good LA team. The Rams obviously are the defending NFC champion. So they beat a pretty good, and they got by 30-29 in that ball game. So Jared Goff still threw up almost 400 yards on them. And then they beat up and barely beat a bad Cleveland team. When you look at the quality of wins, the Packers have it over them. You know? Just looking at the facts. Hey, for over 45 years, Cousin Subs, they've been catering to parties of all sizes, from small groups to large groups to more than 10,000. They have the options and the expertise to do the work for you. Customizable catering lineup includes 12 to 20-piece party boxes, 2-foot party subs, party salads, party soups, party chips. They got it all over at Cousin Subs. There's no need to do the work. Just sit back, relax, enjoy your party. Call Cousin Subs. Order online or pick up, and even delivery, which is now available at select locations. Go to CousinSubs.com or just check out Cousin Subs Catering at CousinSubs.com. The official sub sandwich of the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network. You better believe in better. The best team in the NFC is who? After sitting down and kind of going over everything last night and quality of wins and schedule, it's the Green Bay Packers. Do you agree or disagree? More of the Bill Michael Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Coming up tomorrow night, we're going to be out at Joe Mama's. Looking forward to it. You just heard it. Tomorrow night in Colgate. Bill Michaels Huddle back on the road again. 6 to 8 tomorrow night. Tom Pippins, the grand poobah of sports in Wisconsin. Formerly the sports director of Fox 6. He's going to be joining us out there tomorrow night. Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun. It's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joe treats us great every time we go there. Love that place. Hope to see you out there tomorrow night. Joe Mama's. Looking forward to it. The best team in the NFC is, and if you start to look at the analytics and you look at strength of schedule and the wins and the circumstance, it's the Green Bay Packers. Can you believe that? Did you think that after six games and the Packers sitting at 5-1 that we would be talking about this? And think about this. The Oakland Raiders come into Lambeau Field with a 3-2 record. They're above 500. They're going to face yet another above 500 team, which would go in as a quality win if the Packers get the win on Sunday. Think about that for a minute. From where they were, and just the it looked so far away from where they were in the way that season ended last year, to where they are right now, and they haven't even come close to playing their best football. The best team in the NFC is the Green Bay Packers. Agree or disagree? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Rick says, looking at it this way, the last time A-Rod was healthy two seasons ago were like 4-5-1 before the bar hit. Last year he played on a broken leg. He's healthy and a new coach. I like how they look. I do too. This one's from Johnson. Hector says that we should be expecting to win every week. Definitely not feeling it at the start of the season, but I am right now. Julian writes, how can you say that Russell Wilson's having an MVP type of season? Whoa! Nay, nay. I'm not discussing MVPs here. But I'll say this, Julian. He is having an MVP season. No doubt about it. But, let's be honest, the Bengals suck. They put up 21. Pittsburgh sucks. They put up 28. New Orleans, good team, put up 27 on them. Arizona sucks, put up 27 on them. The Rams' defense is ailing. Their secondary, not anywhere near as good as it was last year. As a matter of fact, they just made a couple of trades to bolster it. He put up 30 on them. And then he beat up on a bad Cleveland team, 32-28. He is having an MVP type of season, but he's not doing it against staunch defenses. So don't tell me that he's just beating the world, and every week, week in and week out, he's facing the old Legion of Boom. Come on, man. He's getting it done, and he's kind of a one-man band right now. I don't disagree with that. But don't try to sell me on because Russell Wilson's having an MVP type of season, they deserve to be the number one team right now in the NFC. It's conjecture, I know, but come on. Come on, no. Ain't happening. You're not going to convince me of that. The Packers are getting it done in many different ways, but they haven't even hit their stride yet. You know? Hey, by the way, if you want to hit me up on Twitter, you can do so at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Or at Radio Joe Sports. We've got Evan Heffelfinger in here with us as well. Now our full-time guy behind the glass as we continue to expand the staff of the program. Befuddled writes, the Packers are a very good team, but you could probably flip a coin on the top teams in the NFC. I don't think they're there yet. Well, again, but tell me who's better and why. Give me the reason why. You know, if you want to say because of head-to-head, Philadelphia would be a better football team, okay. You know, just because of head-to-head, I guess you could go there. But looking at Philadelphia right now, sitting at 3-3 on the season and their schedule overall, can you honestly say that Philadelphia by far is the better team in the NFC? They beat Washington. They fell to a bad Atlanta team. They got beat by Atlanta. They got beat at home by Detroit. They beat the Packers. That was on a Thursday night game, went into Lambeau Field. I can give you that. No doubt about it. They drilled a horrible New York Jets team. I don't care what the Jets did to Dallas this weekend. The Jets are still bad. And don't forget, they didn't have Darnold at the time. And they just went in and lost to Minnesota by 18. Packers beat Minnesota. So you can make an argument because of the head-to-head. I will give you that. But you're not going to convince me that the Philadelphia Eagles right now are the best team in the NFC. Ain't going to happen. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. The best team in the NFC. How good do you think this Packers team is? Think about it for a minute. The San Francisco 49ers, they're undefeated. I'll give you that. Mark says he's a 49ers fan. Says, how can you ignore what Garoppolo and company are doing and that defense they have? Hey, their defense is staunch. I praised them yesterday. Watching them with that goal line stand against the Rams over the weekend, boy, oh boy. They got it going on. They are playing carefree football right now out there in the Bay Area. No doubt. Give it to you. But I don't think I can consider them the best team. The record would certainly indicate it. But when you look at the teams they beat, how do you look at them and go, yeah, they got it. They beat Tampa Bay. They were on the road. They beat Tampa Bay. Then they went into Cincinnati, and they beat Cincinnati. Cincinnati sucks. They beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh stinks. They drilled Cleveland. Cleveland stinks. And then they beat the Rams. That was their first really good win. Like I said, the teams that they had beat up until week six was – because they had a bye week in week four, believe it or not. But until they beat the Rams, their teams collectively were 5-15. I can't throw my hat into the ring on that one just yet. Brewtown Sports says, I had the Packers at 3-3 this point. So far, the better. Still, if injuries keep mounting up, the offense will suffer and they might have a tougher time with the next 10 games. That I agree with, which is you saw a flurry of deals yesterday, all pretty much involving the Rams. Boy, they gave up a ton for Jalen Ramsey. Man, Which when I heard that, I thought, okay, if you're getting to the trade deadline and teams smell desperation and you're desperately trying to get yourself a position player of whatever ilk, you know, Jalen Ramsey was going to cost you a little bit to get out of there, you know, but the Jaguars got a lot back. Two first rounders top the list. I didn't think they would get that for Jalen Ramsey, and they did. So this time of year, when the trade deadline's nearing and you're in desperate need of a wide receiver like the Packers are, or at least what fans are thinking they are, it's going to take quite a bit, I think. I don't know if the Packers are going to get themselves a wide receiver. They may just wait. They may just wait right now and just say, you know what, we're going to ride this out and hopefully we can get it done in many different ways. By the way, the power rankings are out. If you do, depending on which publication you look at, the four-letter network. New England, obviously number one, even though they've beaten a couple good teams, but their schedule's not anywhere near as tough as some of the other ones that are out there. New Orleans is solid. They're 5-1, sitting at 5-1. Then you've got San Francisco at 5-0, which, again, I don't necessarily agree with. Their biggest weakness right now is their red zone. 49ers finished last in the NFL a year ago when it came to turning red zone drives into touchdown. They made a little bit of progress. They're up to 46% from 41, but they still got plenty of room to improve. Then they have the Seahawks at 5-1. Their biggest weakness right now, they can't get to the quarterback. They have the Packers. Now get this. They have the Packers at 5th, and the Packers won and fell. Now, again, the argument is beyond Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, what does Aaron Rodgers really have? The tight ends are old, and the rest of the receivers are inexperienced and inconsistent. GM Brian Gutekunst rightly put his resources into fixing the defense, and his signings and draft picks have worked out. You can't fix everything in one offseason, so he's going to have to find more options for Aaron Rodgers next time around. But down they go. They win, and they dropped a point. Again, I can't base everything on Seattle at 5-1. And I can't base everything on San Francisco at 5-0 with the schedule they played. When you look at the overall teams the Packers have played, they should be ranked higher, in my opinion. Let's go to Chris, listening to us on the north side. Chris, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hey, Bill, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, man. What you thinking?
Hey, first of all, I like the question, and I need to preface this that I am a diehard Packers fan. But they haven't passed my eye test yet, Bill. They haven't been consistent in all three phases of the game all season long. The defense has been there, but they've had laps too as well. And then the second thing I would like to say that makes me kind of question their record is the unknown. Every time a team goes into a transition with a different coach, the opponents have an unknown factor, really. And I know they play 5 games now, so there's a kind of blueprint. But early in the year, playing the Bears, playing Minnesota, it was kind of unknown of what to really expect. And so I think as the season goes along, if they can be consistent in all three phases of the game, we have a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't been consistent. We haven't been really consistent, and they haven't just passed my eye test yet.
So no, I completely get it because you're right. They haven't really reached their peak yet, and they haven't looked as good as maybe we think they should look if they're going to be considered the top team in the NFC. I'm strictly basing it off results and the teams they've played and where they've played them in the circumstances versus look how good they have looked in doing it. Because I'm not giving style points out right now. If you want to give style points out, you give it up to San Francisco because San Francisco's just looked dominant. But they haven't played anybody. That's like saying you're going out and kicking the hell out of Cincinnati and Miami every week. I can't give all the style points either to the Patriots, even though we know the Patriots are really good, but they beat the hell out of the Dolphins. The Dolphins are tanking, openly tanking. I appreciate the phone call. I can't give it to them either. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. We're going to get back into this because I think it's a legitimate discussion. We're going to talk some Badger football as well. Jim Polzine of the State Journal. Let's check in on some Bucky coming up this weekend. He's going to join us next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
appreciate this group a bunch, and I think you're always trying to do your part as a coach, and yet I know that we've got good leadership. Part of good leadership is also having groups, you know, guys that want to follow, right? And that's a big part of it. And so I think you'd like to think that we're all kind of doing our part.
Those are the words of Paul Christ, head coach of your Wisconsin Badgers. Badgers just keep rolling on, and I'll tell you this. They are now, as long as they don't stub their toe, don't get crazy on me now, but as long as they don't stub their toe, they are on a collision course with Ohio State. And hopefully they can then beat Iowa and Nebraska and Purdue and Minnesota. I don't think there's a team on this schedule that's really going to give them a real tough time other than, I mean, don't get me wrong, I think Iowa's very, very good. Minnesota has certainly played some good football as of late, but it's Ohio State. We're circling that game. Don't stub your toe against Lovie Smith and company going down there to that weird place down in Illinois. Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, our good buddy Jim Polzin, the Wisconsin State Journal. Jim, how you doing, man?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
I am doing well. Look, we've all circled that date on Saturday the 26th. I can't wait for it. I'm already building a fire in my house so I can sit back, relax, and watch it because I desperately want to get over the shoe and see it if I could. But now you got to get past Illinois. And how difficult is it right now? And Joe and I were talking about this earlier in the week. These guys seem to be focused one game at a time. Don't get ahead of yourself, but you got to be circling this game with Ohio State, right?
Yeah, I would think so. But, you know, I think it's probably more difficult for people like us and fans, too. I think this team is, you know, pretty focused. They've got this mantra, no switch, where, you know, they basically treat every opponent as this nameless, faceless team that, you know, it doesn't matter what color they're wearing or who they are or what they're ranked or what their record is. They seem to prepare the same each week. So I guess I can't see them looking past this game. I know it would be so easy to do. This has trap game written all over it. But you know, this team's pretty much said and done the right things from the get-go, and I don't see that changing, even though that Ohio State game is looming, and it's obviously going to be a huge test.
With four shutouts in the pantheon of greatness, where does this defense rank in your opinion?
Well, I mean, I think the jury's still out to some degree. I mean, they've done everything they have been asked to do. I mean, you can't be any more impressive than what they've done. And shutting out an opponent is extremely difficult, no matter who that opponent is. It's just it takes so much. It takes your offense not turning the ball over and putting you in bad spots. It takes, you know, no breakdowns on all play that goes, you know, 50-plus yards for a touchdown. It's really impressive that they've done this. The caveat, of course, is that, you know, have they played a really good offense? Have they played a really good quarterback? We're going to know that more after the Ohio State game. And I don't want to diminish what they've done because, like I said, statistically and everything else, they've done everything you need to do to be considered a great defense. But I think it's a little bit premature to be, you know, saying where they rank among the all-time great defenses here because I just think there's more tests on the schedule, and especially the one next week.
So how big of a test is it coming up this weekend against Illinois?
Well, I mean, it really, they're favored by 31 points. It really should be that much of a test. I mean, I sit there and say that, and you know, Illinois...
it's almost like you're telling the punchline of a joke.
You know, it shouldn't be. Like, you look at everything Wisconsin's done, and we've said they've, with the exception of the Northwestern game, the games have never been in doubt. They've been leading by double digits for the majority of games. They've gotten in front early. I mean, they've scored on their first drive five of six games, and the other game they scored on their second drive. So they've been in front and had the other team chasing them almost the entire season. And this shouldn't be any different on paper. It really shouldn't. Illinois, you know, played well in the third quarter and early fourth quarter last week to get back in that Michigan game and kind of put a scare into Michigan. So there's talent there, but I wonder how Illinois will stop Wisconsin's offense, especially the running game. And I just look at the Wisconsin defense and don't see any holes. I can't see them giving up more than 14, 17 points at the most. And on the flip side, I think Wisconsin will score. So I just don't see it being a close game.
Talking with Jim Polzin of the Wisconsin State Journal. So first of all, right now, is there anything to be concerned about with some of the injuries they've had? Because they really haven't been a real banged-up team, you know what I mean?
No, a couple injuries here and there. I think the one thing, you never want to see guys injured. I think the one thing that's maybe come out of that, though, is that there's probably more depth across the board than I thought there might be at the beginning of the season. I mean, they lost Bryson Williams, the nose tackle, for a couple games, and up steps Keanu Benton, a true freshman from Janesville. So it just seems like that's happened. You know, Isaiah Green-May, outside linebacker, is kind of the guy who won the job coming this season, and he goes down with an injury, and all of a sudden Noah Burks, who had lost the job, essentially, stepped up and he's been really solid. So it just seems like that's happened all season, is that they've had guys missing at times, and yet there's always someone waiting to fill in, and has done a really good job. So I think the depth is probably way better than I expected it to be, a month and a half ago.
Joe, sitting here, I had a question for you, and that is, who do you think has taken, on both sides of the football, some of the biggest leaps this year?
I think this is an easy one. Zach Bond, clearly the outside linebacker from, he's a senior. I looked at this defense. One of my concerns going into the season, I looked at this defense and I didn't see who was going to be a star. I mean, how can a defense be good if there's no obvious first-team All-Big Ten candidates, right? And I just looked at this defense and didn't see one. And Zach Bond has been that guy. And I think Chris Orr to some degree too. But Bond's just every game has been a difference maker in a variety of ways, getting to the quarterback, tackles for losses on running plays. And then last week he returns an interception for a touchdown. So he's been the one guy. I mean, there's a couple of mid-season All-American lists that came out this week and he was on it. So I think that's a testament to just kind of how much of a difference maker he's been through 6 weeks. So he'd be my easy vote. Runner up, I think, would be Jack Cohn. I think he's been better than most people thought, probably myself included. I just think he's been, for the most part, except for that Northwestern game, he's been very, very efficient and has done what's been asked of him so far.
I think Jack Cohn, when you say his name, originally I thought game manager. He's been more than that. I still go back to that the game, Central Michigan or South Florida, one of the two, when it was fourth down in their own territory and they threw the football. That is a huge amount of trust that Paul Chryst had in him, and the fact that he must have taken this leap of confidence, this leap of ability, this leap of read, that like you had been saying all along, that Jack Cohn's probably going to be the starter, and here's the reason why. I think Jack Cohn has played fabulous, far better than expected. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. Part of it, I think they've put him in good positions. They've given him a lot of short passes to kind of help him get in a rhythm. And Paul Chryst calls them layups, and you got to make your layups. And that hasn't always been the case in the past. And this year, Jack Cohn's doing that. So I think that's helped him develop a little bit of rhythm, a little bit of confidence. Last week they had a 4th-and-5 play, and he dropped back and just threw a dart to A.J. Taylor on a slant. And that's, again, that's just kind of proof that, like you said, Chryst trusts him. I think the teammates trust. I mean, the four linemen walked in after the game Saturday with Jackie Heisman T-shirts. I just think that shows, A, that they like the guy. In the locker room, I think he's been a big hit. And B, that they trust him. They like playing with him. And so I think he's done everything to win over his coaches, his teammates. And I think finally, I know there's a lot of Graham Mertz love out there. And I think he's going to be a good player in time. But I think Jack Cohn has slowly but surely started to win over the fan base too.
What does Jonathan Taylor have to do to vault himself to be in the top two, top three at the most when it comes to the Heisman Trophy race? Because I know he's still getting love, don't get me wrong, but as far as those individual statistics, people are looking for just like craziness, you know what I mean? And to have him right now at 838 yards, he's been fantastic. Does he have to get to like 1,500 yards in the season or close to 2,000 yards in the season, something crazy that's going to put him as a Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah, probably more. I would say the yardage total has to be somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000. And I don't know if he's going to get to 2,000. It's not going to be like the last couple seasons. The yardage total is down a little bit, in part because Wisconsin's passing game is so good. They're so balanced now. They're not relying on Taylor so much, and they don't have to. But I think when you add up receiving yards and rushing yards, he's going to be, plenty enough impressive for the voters. I think that touchdown total, he's got 18 at the halfway point of the season. I mean, that's a huge number. If he can get up in the 30 range, I think that gets you on the radar. But frankly, it comes down to, where's Wisconsin at the end of the season? Are they 12-1 with a Big Ten championship on their resume? Does Taylor have a huge game against Ohio State or huge games against Ohio State if they meet again in the Big Ten title game. You know, I think that's a, I think that gets him in the conversation. If all those things are checked off, I think that's huge. And then, you know, frankly, it's what other guys do too. You know, Joe Burrow from LSU and Tua from Alabama are going to play each other at some point. Does one of them knock the other off? Does it become kind of a two-man race, three-man race? We'll see. But, you know, so far I think Taylor's done pretty much everything to at least keep himself in the conversation. A big game next week against Ohio State, and if they would somehow win that game, you know, I think that starts to open eyes a little bit more.
Jim, always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll talk to you. I guarantee we'll talk coming up to that Big Ten massive matchup with Ohio State. So we'll chat again maybe next week, okay?
All right, my pleasure.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Jim Polzino of the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison.com, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. That's the way they've been getting it done for a long time. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. Hey, my friends over at Robert Hack Diamonds, Greenfield and in Milwaukee, the corner of 76th and Layton in Greenfield, Port Washington and Greentree Road in Milwaukee. That's where they have the most cash for your gold. They got a lot of good specials going on right now, including diamonds and estate sales. Check it out over at Robert Hack Diamonds. Also, one of our new places, which is called the Social House. I got to be honest. The Social House, I mean, it's right there on Lisbon Road in Menominee Falls. Great for watching sporting events in a cozy atmosphere, but I've been driving past this place for years, and I finally stopped in and got talking to the owner, which, by the way, he's related to Gina Della from Pella, and which was fantastic. I had a great time there. But they have got a highly acclaimed cheese curd burger. Joe, this is right up your alley, man. It is a burger loaded with cheese curds, and it's rated on Milwaukee.com, rates it as one of the best burgers in the city. And get this, on Sundays, I'm not kidding, now take a listen. You buy a drink, you get free pancakes. Ow! You buy a drink, you get free pancakes. That's a Social House on Lisbon over there in Menominee Falls. And in addition to that, our good friends over at Usinger. You cannot start ordering those gift baskets for the holiday any sooner than right now. Start getting them, and don't forget, if you're going to have any kind of a tailgate party coming up, go to our friends at Usinger. Usinger.com. That is Usinger.com. Stay tuned. We're going to hear from the big left tackle, the Green Bay Packers, David Bakhtiari, up next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. It's all happening at Pottawatomie. Visit paysbig.com. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are taking the day off from practice. They're going to work out tomorrow and Friday before they host the Raiders on Sunday. Yesterday, the NFL said that Lions defensive tackle Trey Flowers should not have been penalized for a hands-to-face infraction on David Bakhtiari. The Packers left tackle reacted.
I'll take it, because calls go both ways. Two hands-to-face calls where I'm battling and everyone wants to go any which way. Listen, they're close calls for a reason. That's the best way I'm going to answer that one. They're close calls for a reason. There's a couple players that I played in my career where half the time I'm staring up at the sky, literally the whole game, and this was one of the games where I was looking up at the sky more than I think I was actually looking, seeing my actual defender.
Packers rookie receiver Darius Shepherd had a rough night against the Lions. A pass from Aaron Rodgers bounced off his face mask and turned into an interception. Shepherd also muffed a punt return that set up another Lions field goal. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur after watching the game tape from Monday night.
Obviously, on the punt return, he's got to make a better decision. You know, he was out of position for catching the ball. We never want our punt returners putting their hands over their head to catch a football. So if you ever get in that position, either try to get out of the way, or he's got to, at worst case scenario, he got to fair catch that.
That's Matt LaFleur in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Thanks for hanging. We'll get back to some David Bakhtiari stuff coming up here a little bit later on. Ran out of time. I went a little bit long with Jim Polzino of the State Journal. But that's all right. Good stuff from Jim. Hey, don't forget our friends over at Quick Trip. Hey, want to say hi to Marjorie and Cassidy. I saw them. I was out in Waukesha today at the Quick Trip right there off of 94. And they're both standing there, and they looked at me. And you can just kind of tell sometimes if people are like, are you? And I'm like, yes. Nice to meet you. And they walk over to the car. They look around, and sure enough, using the unleaded 88. She goes, you better be. I said, I do every day. Stop here just about every day. Went in and grabbed myself a little bit of go-go juice, and out the door I went. And they went in then and asked the woman behind the desk how you get involved with the Quick Rewards program. So kudos to them. I wanted to make sure I said hi to Cassidy and Marjorie, who are both out there at the Quick Trip today. Stop into your local Quick Trip store. It is the place to go for just about everything. Your one-stop shop for damn near everything. Real quick, before we get to the top of the hour, KJ in West Dallas. KJ, how you doing, buddy? What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call today, Bill.
Shoot quick, because we got a short amount of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Yesterday, I would say the Packers were the number one team, but after thinking about it overnight and you posing the question, I'm looking at the New Orleans Saints.
Are you?
What
okay.
What they've done so far without Drew Brees and having Teddy Bridgewater QBing and going to Seattle and getting that win and convincingly, I watched that game. They're good on defense and offense.
Yeah.
Kamara is, I mean, he's a game changer, man. So I'm going to have to say the Saints. You play who's on your schedule.
Right.
And the Packers have a stronger in-division schedule right now, and that's why they're looking better analytically.
Okay.
But I think I like the Saints, man.
All
have
right.
A great day, Bill.
You know what? I'll get back to this. Appreciate it, man. I'll get back to this. Saints have beaten Houston. They got drilled by the Rams. Saints, they beat Seattle. Saints beat Dallas. They beat Tampa Bay, and they beat Jacksonville. That doesn't bode well on your schedule, but you can make a case for them. They beat some pretty good teams, no doubt. Hey, when we come back, let me ask you this. Are the Badgers a Final Four team? Oh, think about it, baby. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.